was a great song. I just felt in my heart that I want to say, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. My soul loves Jesus. My soul loves Jesus. Bless his name. My soul loves Jesus. My soul loves Jesus.
Thank you that you have declared that where any two or three are gathered in your name, that you are in the midst. So we thank you for your presence in this place this morning. We thank you for your glory that filled this house. And as we speak your word this morning, we pray we speak it with clarity, that we speak it with boldness. That your people will be filled, that your people will be edified. And above all, Lord, that you be glorified in all that we say and all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to continue to preach. I turned that mic down by mistake. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. We're talking about being empowered by the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. The former treatise I have made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, with which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father hath put under his own power. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. For staying on the topic, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and our subject today is, are you an empowered witness? Are you an empowered witness? The Holy Spirit was promised, and Jesus said that after you receive the Holy Spirit, you would receive power, and that power was for a specific purpose. Power to be witnesses. And so far as we've studied being empowered by the Holy Spirit, we've learned that in order to have the Holy Spirit's power in your life, you must live a life that's yielded to the Spirit of God. The key word in that is submission. Submission. Submission is the attitude that Mary had when the angel of the Lord spoke to her and said, you're going to be with child, and that child is by the Holy One, God. And her words were, be it unto me according to thy will. That's the attitude of submission that all believers need to have. That whatever goes on in my life, whatever God's will is for my life, be it unto me according to thy will. And we need to have the mindset that says, just like Mary did at the wedding feast of Cana of Galilee, whatever he tells you to do, I will do. So submission is having the attitude of, be it unto me according to thy will, and having the mindset that whatever he tells me to do, I'm going to do. That's the first step in having the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Submission. Yieldedness. Then we said that being filled with the Spirit or being baptized in the Spirit is evidenced by speaking in tongues. And that speaking in tongues is an essential part of the believer's life. We define that being baptized means to be totally immersed, to totally submerge. So believers must be totally immersed in the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God must have total control of your life. People who were baptized were in the Holy Spirit, says they were devoted. That word devoted means they were totally committed. They were totally submerged into this life. They were baptized. It says they devoted themselves to the word and to prayer and to fellowship with the saints. So the presence of the Holy Spirit in a person's life empowers them to be something more than they could be without his presence. The Holy Spirit empowers you to be more than you can be without him. It is a supernatural empowerment. And the Holy Spirit's empowerment, again, was for a specific purpose. To be a witness. To be a witness. A witness is one who testifies to what he has seen and to what he has heard and to what he has experienced. Without a witness, there would be no one to say what did or did not happen. Witnesses. You have to be a witness. And I know all of us have turned on the TV on any given day of the week, and we've seen people talking to reporters. telling them the facts of what they saw or what they didn't see. And some are very descriptive and they tell a convincing story, and you can kind of get an idea of what took place at the scene by their description. But then there are other witnesses, and we've all seen them too, that will leave you scratching your head and wondering, why did the reporter pick that person to tell the story? So, for us to be witnesses, Jesus said, you're going to need to be empowered. These eyewitnesses that we read in the book of Acts, they were eyewitnesses to the life, to the ministry, and to the death of Jesus. And they would need to be able to tell the story convincingly. Now, if you were in court and you were there to testify in a hearing, any good attorney would not let you get on the stand without prepping you first. And by prepping you, he's going to ask you the same questions that you would be asked when you're actually on the witness stand. He's not going to let you get up there and be unprepared for the questioning. So a good attorney, any good attorney, is going to question you in two ways. See, as your attorney, he's going to question you in a way that gets you to clearly express in a concise way your story. And he's going to be patient with you. And he's going to be friendly towards you in order to help you convey, by asking you a series of questions, in order to help you convey exactly what you saw or didn't see, or exactly what happened or didn't happen. So he's going to be friendly towards you. But any good attorney is also going to treat you hostily. He's going to get in your face a little bit, and he's going to ask you some hard questions, and he's going to be hostile towards you, because that's what's going to happen when you get cross-examined. So, that is why you must be an empowered witness, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Jesus told them, wait, don't leave until you have been prepped by the Holy Spirit to be witnesses. Don't leave the city. I'm sending someone to prep you to be witnesses. See, what I'm trying to tell you is that knowing the story is not the issue, but being able to convincingly convey the story is what you need assistance with. That's why you need the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. The power we were given, the power we are given, is for the purpose of being witnesses. Born again, Spirit-filled believers have been commissioned to be witnesses of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is the advocate. He is the one that is empowering you to testify. John 15:25 says, when the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. This word we're talking here, advocate, In the Greek is the word parakletos, which is two words. Para meaning beside, and kaleo, which means to call. In other words, to call to one side. And it signifies an intercessor, or a comforter, or a helper, or a advocate, a counselor. Now, outside of biblical context, outside of biblical literature, it had the meaning, when we see this word, it would have the meaning of an attorney who is appearing in court on behalf of someone else. Just like when you see, if you go to a courtroom and you see an attorney is the one that's sitting on side of the plaintiff or on side of the defendant, the one called alongside. He sits on side representing another, representing on behalf of another. But inside of the biblical meaning, in the biblical context, it implies the same thing, but it also implies help and guidance. And it also means that he gives you strength to endure the hostility that's going to come against you. The advocate gives you the strength to endure the hostility that's going to come against you. So follow me. The Holy Spirit preps you to be witnesses. Now, once you say, I'm a believer, once you say, I'm born again, you just took the witness stand. And once you get on the witness stand, you're going to face some cross examination. The prosecutor is going to treat you hostily. You're going to face some cross examination. If you say you believe in Jesus, you're going to have to be able to stand and show what you believe in. You're going to have to be able to tell the story convincingly. And there are going to be some hostilities thrown at you that you need this power operating in your life in order to respond correctly. Because you know what's going to happen? The persecutor, who is the prosecutor, is going to try to trip you up. He's going to throw everything at you to throw you off your game to get you to be an uncredible witness. He wants to destroy your testimony. Once you said you're a believer, you need the Holy Spirit, the advocate, the one called alongside to help you get through the cross examination. Because if you were crucified with Christ, that means you hung on the cross and you were got to live by the Holy Spirit now, because the persecutor is coming and he's going to ask you to testify and he's going to trip you up. He's going to try to get you to lie. He's going to try to get you to mess up your witness so that you won't be found credible in the court. I'm here to tell you also that there is no such thing as a silent witness. A witness is supposed to testify. No one gets convicted if the witnesses don't testify. And I know we've always said that our actions speak, and people know that we are Christians by the love that we share one for another and the love that we share with the world. But I'm here to let you know that at some point, believers in Jesus Christ must stand up and testify that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, and he died on the cross for your sins, and you too must believe in him like I had to believe in him to be forgiven of your sin. Witnesses must testify. testify. You got to speak up. And the Holy Spirit is the one enabling you. We learned on Wednesday night that the Holy Spirit is the one also convincing people and convicting people of sin. So it's not your job to convince them of their sin. It's not your job to tell them that they're a low down, dirty, no good sinner. You got to tell them about Jesus.
Yes.
It's the Holy Spirit's job. And the Holy Spirit convicts them of sin and makes them raise their hand and say, what must I do to be saved?
Yes.
The Holy Spirit empowers you to be witnesses. Paul said it this way. In Romans 1:15, he says, I am eager to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to you who are in Rome. If the Holy Spirit's operating in your life, he will make you eager to share what Christ has done in your life.
Yeah.
You'll be excited about it. You'll be like Paul and says, I can't wait to share this with someone else. Paul said, I'm eager. Paul spent many years just trying to get to Rome. He was eager. He had heard that Christianity had spread that far, and he wanted to be a blessing. He wanted to be able to preach Jesus Christ crucified in the city of Rome. And he says, I am eager to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to you who are in Rome. And then he went on to say in verse 16 that, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes. So what Paul is saying is when the Holy Spirit gets in your life, he's going to make you witnesses. And those witnesses that you're supposed to be are supposed to be eager, and they're supposed to be unashamed. Eager and unashamed of the gospel of Christ. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever had something good happen to you, and it was so good that you couldn't wait to share it with somebody else? You couldn't wait to tell somebody what somebody gave you, or what somebody did to bless you, or something that happened to you while you were in the grocery store. Somebody paid for your groceries, or you went to pick up a layaway and they told you your layaway was paid for by somebody else. You had something that was good that happened to you that you couldn't wait to tell. Well, you should be excited.
Yeah.
You should be eager to tell the story of the good news that Jesus Christ died for my sins and Jesus Christ died for your sins. The Holy Spirit in your life makes you eager, and he makes you excited, and he makes you unashamed.
Yes, amen.
He'll make you unashamed of the gospel of Christ.
Amen, amen.
Hallelujah. Islam today is the fastest growing religion in the world. Its followers are sold out. Its followers are excited, and they are converting masses of people. Their witnesses are not silent witnesses. Jehovah Witnesses are setting up tables in the local malls and on the street corners, while those who are supposed to be empowered to be witnesses just get up on Sunday morning and go to church, or don't go to church. But we're supposed to be witnesses. Witnesses. And the plan was that the witnesses, once empowered, would reach the entire world. Would reach the entire world. Let me tell you something. Everybody was waiting because Jesus went away, and he told them he was coming back, and he wasn't going to leave them. He was coming back to get them. And so they were waiting. They thought it would be soon. None of them thought that it would be 2017 and Jesus would still be delayed. But my Bible tells me When they asked Jesus for a sign, Jesus said, you don't need a sign. But then he told them there'll be wars and rumors and wars. Fathers will be against sons, sons against fathers and all this stuff. And he said, but the end is not yet. When he told them all that, the end is not yet. And then he said, and this gospel will be preached in all the earth. And then the end will come. If you're waiting for the end, guess what? The end has not come because the witnesses have gone silent, and this gospel that was supposed to go from to Jerusalem, and then to Judea, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth has still failed to reach the uttermost parts of the earth. The witnesses have gone silent. Jesus said when the gospel had reached everywhere, then the end would come. If the end is delayed, it's because the witnesses have stopped witnessing. And there are still places like Nepal with the Sudi people that have not heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are still regions of the earth where people don't know anything about God or Jesus Christ. The witnesses have grown silent. When the plan was that we would reach the world. Now, it started out good. It started out in Jerusalem, and very quickly, if you read through the book of Acts, the gospel spread. That's why Paul was eager to get to Rome, because the gospel, which started in Jerusalem, was spreading so fast. It was spreading like wildfire. First in Jerusalem, Paul said, because the gospel was to be to the Jew first, and Jerusalem was the center of Jewish life. And then he said, and then in, Jesus said, and then in Judea, which was the next town over, the next door neighbors to Jerusalem. Then in Judea, the gospel was going to spread from here and then go to the next town over. And then in Samaria. Now, Samaria was a little farther out, and they were people that the Jews had no dealings with. But the gospel was going to reach them too, is what Jesus was telling them. And then to the uttermost parts of the earth. The othermost parts of the world. What I'm trying to show you here is that Jerusalem is your hometown, the place where you live, your neighborhood, your apartment complex, your place of employment, the hair salon you go to get your hair done, the barber shop you get your hair done, the doctor's office that you sit and wait in for hours for the doctor to see you. That's your Jerusalem. Your next door neighbor's house is your Jerusalem. Are you witnesses in Jerusalem? Those areas that are closest to you, those things that you touch every day, Jerusalem. We need the advocate to come beside us and to come inside us to prep us and to empower us to be witnesses to those that are closest to us. Closest to us. And we've used this excuse that the life I live is a testimony far too long. Because, as I said, a witness must get on the stand and speak that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and that he died for your sins, and that he rose to give you victory in your life. Witnesses must get on the stand and speak. And then we must reach across to the next town over. Yes. To those people that aren't in our inner circle. To those people that live a little bit further down the block. To those people that are in the next town over. The places that we travel when we go on vacation. We can't be silent witnesses when we go away. We can't turn up while we're out of town and be a different way when you're home around your own town. No, you got to be witnesses everywhere you go, in the next town over. We must reach the next town with the good news. And then it says, and then in Samaria. And Samaria represents those folks that we normally don't have any dealings with. Those folks that are not like us. Never before in America, in my 47 years, have I seen the country so divided as they were in this last presidential election, where we wouldn't reach across the aisle. If you said you were going to vote for that other guy, whether the other guy was him or the other guy was her, if you said you was going to vote for the other guy, you had the plague. Well, we got to go to those who don't have the same political views as we do. We got to go to those who don't have the same skin color as we do, or don't speak the same native language as we do, or don't eat the same foods as we do. Samaria was a place where there were people that weren't anything like Jews. They were known to be low down dirty dogs. Jesus even called the Samaritan woman a dog. You got to go to those people that you normally would look down on. You got to go to those people that you normally would think, I don't have nothing to do with them. Those that you perceive are prejudiced against you. We got to go to Samaria. The gospel is to all nations of people, and we, the believer, are responsible to win the world.
Yes.
We are the ones responsible to win the world. It says that when the gospel has been preached to everyone on the planet, then the end would come. So what I'm going to say in closing, if you've been saved for more than a month and you haven't told anyone that you're saved, you're a silent witness. You're a silent witness. Witnesses testify of the good news. If the salvation that you experienced is good news for you, then you'll want to share it. So that someone else can experience it. If you found a way to walk out the door and pick up $1 million on the ground, and you found out that anybody could do it, anybody could walk to the same place and get their $1 million, and you had people that you knew that were struggling, that couldn't pay their bills, or couldn't keep their lights on, or couldn't do this, or couldn't do that, didn't have any food to eat, you would immediately run back after you got yours. You would immediately run back and tell them, come good. I can't reach in there and get it for you, but you can reach your hand in and get yours. That's what witnesses do. They tell people of the good thing that happened to them so that they would run and get it too.
Yes, amen.
That's what the witness is supposed to do. You can't be a silent witness. So if you've been a silent witness, whether it's because of fear or because you're ashamed or because you're a little timid, the Holy Spirit is here to empower you to be a witness. If we have the Holy Spirit living on the inside, then we should be impacting the world around us with the message of good news. And there are a whole lot of other messages that are going around, but the message of the good news that Jesus Christ died for sinners is the message we're supposed to preach first. All the other stuff is secondary. They got to get saved. They got to hear about Jesus. That's the message of the good news. Are you an empowered witness? Are you an empowered witness? Stand to your feet. Thank you, God.